More tips than the more trips than the Leyland brothers, Brian. But you've got the fax coming up.
Oh, what a fax. Oh yes, the fax is working again. Dear Jared, I cannot stop fantasizing about my sister-in-law and dreams of waking up with her in my arms. I'm a married man of 35, two sons. My wife is 37 and a PA. I'm a delivery driver and work shifts so that I could be at home when the boys need me. Mm. That's very nice. We have a good marriage and a good sex life. Everything was going well until my sister-in-law came to stay with us.
Oh, no.
She's 32 and has a daughter. Her partner is a first-class moron. So I got a call one afternoon as I was about to pick up the kids from school. Her partner was drunk. This is the sister-in-law. Mm. And he got a little bit physical and started abusing her. So I jumped in the car, went to pick the both up and the daughter, and got in the car, basically settled her down. Her hair smelled amazing. Mm. And with her body close to mine, it sparked something in me that I'd not felt for a long time. When my wife came home, my sister-in-law told her how wonderful I'd been and that she was so lucky to have me as a husband. Later, we bumped into one another on the landing. This is the stair landing, not King's Landing. No. And she looked so sexy in her silky shorts and pajama top. When I got back into bed, I had sex with my wife, but the whole time I was imagining it was her sister. She's still living with us now. Should I tell her that we should make a go of it, or should I just keep it to myself?
Wow.
I know there's no Dear Jared here, but maybe there's a Dear BP.
A sack of their blur. It's time to roll around in the Roland Garros clay with the doyen of the drop shot, Brett Phillips. Thanks to B Solar. Let the sun pay for your electricity. Visit B.solar to learn more.
Yeah, rolling around at Roland Garros, but Brian wants to know about the rolling around of the landing.
It's a conundrum.
BP, thoughts?
Wow, wee. I am listening, but then I just drift. If I hear this on one hold, I just sort of drift off somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, basically, BP, I need your. It's for Jared. We don't know. Do you know any Jareds that work at SEN?
Oh, I certainly do.
Well, we've been doing this show for 18 months, and this fax that's under my desk here, I always get these Dear Jareds, and I don't know. Who would it be? Was it Jared that used to be in? Maybe
a lot of amorous advice needed, isn't it, Brian?
Well, anyway, I know you've got to get to the tennis, but what should he do, BP? Because there's no Jared here, so you'll do. Does he stay with his wife, or does he go and have a chat to the sister-in-law on the landing?
I think the greatest risk is to take no risk at all.
Yeah. That's good, BP. We need you. I'm going to tell all.
You know what? That is wonderful. Look, see, this is why he's such a good broadcaster. Economy of words, succinct.
Yeah,
and he summed it up just with that. Anyway, BP, what's happening over there at Roland Garros? I'll get you off the hook.
Well, last night it was obviously the demon that went down in five, Alex Dimitrov. That was pretty tough. You bust your lungs for nearly 4 hours out on court, and you lose to a little Frenchman, 74 in the world, little Hugo Gaston, who had this, they were raucous last night. It was that soccer football type crowd in your face. Didn't please Alex, although I reckon if he had them in his corner at the Australian Open, he probably wouldn't be complaining too much. But yeah, small margins. It just goes to show, world number 20 in tennis versus the world number 74, there's not that much in it. And Alex, I get asked a lot of questions about Alex. How's he tracking? Is he going to be good enough? Can he win a slam? Well, look, you're blessed with what you're blessed with, right? I mean, he's got obviously great speed. He's got a heart the size of Farlap. He gives it everything. I mean, that's all you can ask. As sports fans that we are, we sit there, we turn the TV on. We know he's going to give it his absolute all. Is he blessed with the biggest serve? No. Is he blessed with the heaviest ground strokes? No. Can he maybe improve that? Of course, if he might want some muscle in the next few years and just get through the court a bit quicker, he might have one window to win a Grand Slam. Like Leighton had that little window, didn't he? And he was, mighty to win a couple of majors, after sort of the tail end of Pete Sampras and before Nadal and Federer got going. So it's tougher, I think, now for Alex Dimitrov. And John Millman lost overnight to Seb Korda, so that was no surprise, although Johnny's come out pretty strong about the whole Wimbledon stuff. I mean, he's not one to sugarcoat things, John Millman. He's got a strong voice. He's actually on the ATP Player Council. A lot of infighting going on in tennis at the moment, all the argy-bargy around Wimbledon and the bans and lack of rankings points. But hopefully a bit of success tonight, gents. We've got Ila Tomljanović, we've got Darius Saville up against Petra Kvitova. I give her a chance. Desha against the two-time Wimbledon champ. That's a long time ago. And the man we're really behind is Jason Kubler. We love him. He's got no sponsors. He just carries his own bags. Hasn't picked up too many big paychecks across his career. He's got Cam Norrie at Great Britain. So if he could win that, and I don't not give him a chance, it'll be tough. Jed's a nice little payday for Jason Kubler.
Oh, looking forward to that. That'd be a good story, wouldn't it, Brian, if Jace could get the victory?
Can I just look, it was a bit sad. Joe Wilfried Tsonga is retiring, BP. How would you describe his career? I know he was a runner-up at the Australian Open.
Yep. I think like a lot of players through the era of Djokovic, Federer and Nadal, probably a little unlucky. You know, I think of Thomas Berdych, I think of David Ferrer, I think of a few others who have been in that top 10 for a long time, and I think he spent the best part of nearly a decade inside the top 10 and just couldn't quite nail one. But, you know, he walks away, what, 467 wins. He's been five in the world, Australian Open finals, semis of the French and Wimbledon. He won a Davis Cup, and he always carried a great smile. I mean, the French have always been great entertainers. I mean, no one's won a slam since Yannick Noah, who's still, you know, smoking the pipe there, 83 at Roland Garros. None of them have had maybe the mental fortitude to get up and win one. But, gee, they've entertained us. The French always play with great style. And here's Joe Willey last night. He's on centre court, 37. The body's hanging by a thread. In the end, he couldn't even hardly serve. The shoulder was that sore. But he took Casper Ruud, who's a bit of a star from Norway, to three tiebreakers in their four sets. And that standing ovation lasted a lifetime. It was brilliant. There were tears. I even shed a tear myself last night because he's been an entertainer. He has given the crowd value for their money any time they come in to watch him.
And you've given us value for our money, Brett. The greatest risk is to take no risk at all, Brian, as our man Brett said. By the way, BP, if you do run into that man, Jared from SEN, can you tell him his fax machine's up here and we keep getting this sort of mail coming through? Great to chat, BP.
I'll pass it on. Thank you, gents.
There he is. Brett Phillips was